Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. You already had a little foretaste with having the children's message as to the message being about wisdom. So let me ask, what is wisdom? Where does it come from? Well, does the Proverbs answer that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Wisdom is that knowledge which agrees with both ethics and spiritual conduct. The ESV Study Bible declares that wisdom is the art of life, living the way God intended. This wise way of life comes from a personal God who is righteous and holy. Wisdom is one of his attributes. There is then a right way to live and a wrong way to live. No matter which of the occupations that you have, be it on land, on the sea, or in the air. While the effects of one's life may not be immediately seen, in fact, they may not be seen at all during this life, but when Christ returns, it will be seen. Works do not save, and yet those who are faithful will practice good works. These good works include loving God, loving each other, and loving oneself. That is, having stewardship over all that God has given you, from relationships to friendships to possessions, including your own body. Even before the fall into sin, God gave dominion. All the way back in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." This dominion and this wisdom is granted by the work of the Holy Spirit. As it is written in Isaiah, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord." What Isaiah did not mention in that passage was that this stump of Jesse, Jesus Christ, would have this wisdom not only as an adult, but even as a child. Just turn to our gospel text. Last weekend we heard about how Jesus was taken to the temple by his mother and his father to be presented according to the custom of the law of Moses, that they were there to perform all that was necessary to fulfill the law. When he was there, he was held in the arms of Simeon, the very man the Holy Spirit had promised would get to see the Christ child before he died. When they accomplished all these things, Jesus returned with his parents to Nazareth. And there, as Luke records, the child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now, this is the first time of two times that Luke mentions this in our text. The second time is at the end. Jesus is already demonstrating his two natures. His human nature. He was growing in stature. He was getting bigger. And his ability to do things was increasing as well. Yet then also he was growing in his spiritual nature. Or at least so it would seem. Jesus was already filled with wisdom. But no one expected that. He looked just like the person sitting next to you. He looked no different than one of us, or one of those that he was around. And so it's no wonder then why so many people were surprised with our text this morning that he demonstrated the wisdom that he did. To make kind of a side note that I hadn't prepared, would you be surprised if one of the kids that was up here earlier started talking to you about the work of God in ways that you could not understand? I might be a little bit. But then I would remember that it doesn't matter according to age. It matters according to the work of the Spirit. And whoever the Spirit is working in, that is who is going to speak according to God's will. Yet the wisdom of Christ was not like that of his peers. It was given to him by his Spirit, by God's Spirit. And this was already a defining difference between Jesus and the other people. He did not need his parents to bring him to hear the word. He was the word. But just as Jesus' peers rather needed their parents to bring them to hear the word, so also our children need us to bring them to hear the word. The wisdom of God is dispersed through his Spirit, and God's Spirit works through the hearing, through the hearing of the word. That is how it can be said that the promise is for you and your children. I remember when I was in about high school, I think it was, I had finished my Bible class on a Sunday morning, and I went downstairs to meet my dad in adult Bible class, and my hometown pastor at the time, the one that confirmed me, was just wrapping up class. And he had been posed the question about how the Holy Spirit worked and what age a person had to be for them to believe. And he points to a family in the back of the room, and he says, "You see the child back there?" And the child was about 2 or 3 years old, pretty young still. He said, "I know that that child has faith because I've seen him brought here weekend by weekend to hear God's word. That's how I know he has faith." He had been coming on a regular basis to hear. Faith does not depend on the natural process of wisdom. It is a spiritual thing. This is true of children from birth to 120. In this way, the favor of God will be upon them, that is our children, as it was on our Lord Jesus Christ, all the way from his journey to the temple to his trip to Jerusalem at age 12. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Again, they were amazed because Jesus looked like any other 12-year-old child at the time. He demonstrated wisdom that was not of earth, but of the Spirit. And what is more, when he was asking questions, it was not to get the answer, it was to teach. The commentators say that when Jesus was asking them questions, it was to stimulate more profound thinking, responding to people's questions by posing a question of his own. We already know that he does this later on in his life. When he is asked about the authority of John the Baptist or his own authority, he says, "What about the authority of John the Baptist? Where does that come from?" So he answers their question with his own question. And here he is already doing it at age 12. Again, through the wisdom of the Spirit granted to him. It was not to learn that Jesus asked questions, but to teach, as Jesus would do often. Luke records that when his parents saw him, they were astonished. Now, there might be a couple of reasons for this. For one thing, they might have been astonished that he was not with them when they left. The Greek is very interesting, and I don't claim to be too much of an expert on it, but I do know that in some cases when a phrase is mentioned in Greek, it applies not only to what comes after it, but also to what comes before it. And so I think in this particular case, it refers not only to him not being with them, but also to what he was doing. That he was among those teachers, and he was speaking with such wisdom. After all, everybody else gathered around were also amazed at his teaching, and so why not his parents as well? Jesus' wisdom was of the Spirit of God, the same Spirit whom you received at baptism and received in hearing his word. Are there passages of Scripture that elude your current understanding? Continue in the word. Granted, not every question has an answer. But for those questions that have an answer, sometimes research is needed. Sometimes digging into the Scripture is needed. Both here on Sunday mornings in adult Bible class and here in the lectern and preaching, but also at home. It's a new year. If you don't already have a pattern of reading the Scripture at home, I encourage you to begin this year. It's not just a good practice, but one of the commandments. What does God require of us in the third commandment? We should hold preaching and the word of God sacred, and we should gladly hear it, learn it, and meditate on it. Where we have often failed to keep God's word sacred, Jesus has succeeded in keeping it for us. He knew that we needed him to do this for us even at such a young age. That is how he responds to his parents' worry, after all. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Jesus had to completely fulfill the law from birth to death in order for his payment to be full for us. And so Jesus not only had to be able to keep his Father's house sacred, he also had to honor his authorities. And so that's how our text continues. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to him, or to them. And that "them" refers then to his parents. He fulfilled both the third and the fourth commandments then, and all of the commandments. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. I mentioned earlier that Jesus' growth in stature and wisdom would be repeated here at the end. So why the repetition? Why does it matter? Why did Luke deem it necessary to include a second time? Well, for the reason that we just established. Jesus had to live a perfect life in order for his death on the cross and his sacrifice to be worth payment for our sins. In order that when he took our sins to the cross, he could give you his life, his perfect life. He was the only human being ever to live a completely perfect life from beginning to end, and his death paid for your sins, even those against his word and against your authorities. And he gave you his righteousness, his completely perfect life, in place of yours. Jesus did this out of grace, grace which is not earned, but given. While Jesus earned his Father's love, he freely gave it to you. And he continues to give it to you freely, along with his Spirit, so that when you are in his word, both here at church and at home, you might continue to read and learn and grow in his word. And as I mentioned to the children, so that when you are asked about what you believe, that you can respond with faith in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.